tickets, please. This looks like it'll be a pretty good trip. This your first time on the Miracle Nutrition Scenic Railway?
Yes, it is.
Then you'll have no idea what's going on.
I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Don't give yourself, the railway, or reason too much credit. You'll move ahead in time, that's all I promise.
I'm just here for the ride.
Remember that when the ride gets boring or uncomfortable, passenger boy.
All right. Thanks, old-timer. I'm just glad to be on the railway.
You are currently riding on the only railroad that runs between Chalk Lick and Other Brother, Indiana. Though at one time, these rails saw over 2,000 different rail lines running routes from Romington to Stayville, bringing salt, detergent, and baking powder to all parts of Indiana and Illinois. As of 5 years ago, though, this train you're riding on is the only one still running. Coming up is the shortest railroad tunnel in Indiana. Or should I say, that was the shortest railroad tunnel in Indiana. If you blink, you missed it. Rather than run the railroad tracks over Super Short Mountain, the men who built this railroad decided to go through it. Problem was, Super Short Mountain wasn't a mountain at all, but a sarcastically named bulge in the earth.
You guys need snacks? I'm going to the snack car.
Get me a bourbon.
They don't have bourbon.
Okay, a cream soda.
Dude.
Mineral water, non-gaseous. All right, just water.
I'm good.
Up on your right, you'll notice the most unusual house in the county. Though not the largest house, you won't believe what I'm about to say. That house, as small as it appears, has 10 kitchens. That's right, 10 kitchens. Ma and Pa kitchen, and their 8 children.
That's 10. That means they don't have an actual kitchen.
Man, that's poor. They should have one more kid so that they have a proper place to cook.
The Scenic Railroad line is staffed by an all-volunteer corps of living and dead railroad workers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the folks working this train are ghosts. But don't you worry. They have the most experience, and without bodies, they don't run the risk of being crushed between railroad cars. A legitimate concern. The town of Chalk Lick, some say, has a very unusual name. The place was originally known as Lick until the arrival of settlers. The settlers had schoolhouses, and in those schoolhouses were teachers. Now, every day, those teachers would come to school and teach children who came there to learn. Often, when they needed to write something down, like a letter or a number, that teacher would use a slate. And to write on that slate, he'd use a piece of chalk. Hence, Chalk Lick. In 1918, there was a tragedy on these very tracks. The Moganoffel Lemon Draggle Crop Circus train was leaving the town of Chalk Lick for an appearance in Chicago. Every elephant, every lion, every horse and clown, every dancer, every poodle act lady, every crewman, every child of every crewman was asleep in their kerosene-lit wooden train cars.
Ma, I can see this coming a mile away. Tragic fire.
Yeah, like the Hagenbeck Circus.
And at 4 a.m. on June 15th, the whole train disappeared without a trace. No fire, no crash, no evidence that the train switched tracks. Dozens of cars full of people and animals simply disappeared.
What the heck?
Woo, woo what? That was close.
Aren't you curious?
Curious about what?
What happened to the train?
Well, at least they didn't burn up in a tragic fire that killed hundreds.
How do you know?
He did something.
You went back.
I've just been sitting here.
Yeah, this time. You went back already and did something to save those people. Now the tour makes no sense.
Why?
Coming up on our right, the town of Dead Clown.
Why is there a town called Dead Clown in the middle of Indiana if there wasn't a circus train fire?
I don't know. Red Skelton's father had a laundromat there. Maybe. I have no clue.
You can't keep doing this. What did you do with the 26-car train load of 400 people and animals?
They're in Sarasota.
Sarasota!
You did do it. What the heck, man?
Look, I couldn't let it happen.
But now things are really messed up.
Please look out your right windows and you'll see the most hidden waterfall in Indiana. It's called the Jim Dandy Plunkett Waterfall, and it... But, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. Please stay calm, but we're being boarded by bandits.
Oh, I love these reenactment things.
There was no reenactment scheduled.
Hands up, you people, or I start shooting!
Old-time circus clowns are robbing the train.
Get your hands up.
And talking lions.
Oh, he's majestic.
Hands up!
What the heck?
I think the poor deer's with the sideshow.
Why is the circus robbing us?
I don't know, I'll ask. Hey, circus friends, why the robbery?
Just be quiet and give up the gold, pal.
I don't have any gold.
No one has gold.
What? Is this a pauper's train?
I think they're foreigners. They have money like Rudolph the Giant when he joined.
Russians. It's Russian money.
We aren't Russians.
Let's get out of here, Flipsy.
Majestic Joe is right. Come on, guys.
Oh, listen, get that guy's hat. I like it.
Hey, you can't have my hat. That was my grandpa's.
Show him how we can take it, Flipsy.
They shot Lou. He's dead. What's wrong with you circus people?
Hey, anyone want chips? I'm headed to the snack car. Why are you looking at me funny?
No reason.
You changed something. I can always tell because you look upset and guilty.
What did you do?
I saved Lou's life is what I did.
We'll stop it. You can't save everyone all the time throughout history. Sometimes bad stuff happens.
Well, listen, I've almost got it figured out, though.
Pretty soon, no one will have died and we'll all starve.
Then he'll just go back in time and make it so we're all super small and just eat raisins. I know how this guy thinks. He can't let go of loss.
But listen, life is just like this train. It just keeps going and... Oh, okay, we're here. Let's go.
Man, we're here to learn about history, and all you do is change it.
No. Hey, I want to pop into this gift shop and get that t-shirt with all the hobo symbols on it. Hobos used to leave messages to each other with codes so that there might be a symbol on someone's door that says, hey, a nice lady lives here with generous food.
And you're getting this on a t-shirt in case you go back in time and hang with some hobos?
No, I just thought it was fun, man.
I'm going back to the hotel. I want to wake up early for this historic tour.
Yeah, I want to go back to the room and try out the foot whirlpool bath.
I think that's a toilet.
Well, whatever. I want to stick my feet in the toilet, I guess. Just like home.
Listen, I'm the one doing the hotel history tour, so you won't miss it.
What do you know about the history of the Spittle Lick Springs Hotel?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I wouldn't. He probably literally makes it up as he goes along.
Yeah, I make it up as I go along, but I'm not lying.
Anyway, I'm headed back to the hotel.
Well, let's all go. I should get ready for the tour. So, what exactly do you remember of the scenic train ride?
When he asks it like that, you know he's up to something.
It was very boring, so you can stop worrying. But Lord knows what you've done to history. Look, people already think they know what's happened in history. By rewriting things, you're only confusing people in their deeply held, largely evidence-free beliefs.
People believe things they can't see or prove. Real things they doubt and imagine must not be real. Most things in the world, they'll say, that we're experiencing are an illusion, and the real world is something we have no evidence or proof of.
Well, that seems right.
Well, look, let's just start the tour now, why don't we? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just us.
I know, but it's part of the tour. It's a spiel I have memorized.
Go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are standing in Chalk Lick, Indiana, and are about to cross over into Spittle Lick, Indiana.
Question. Why are so many places called Lick? What's that from?
Animals lick salt.
Oh, of course.
In the 17th century, there was nothing here except animals, people, and a thriving culture. But with the arrival of European hoteliers and hospitality service traders, it was transformed into a center for leisure and colon health. Yes, this untamed wilderness held a precious secret known originally only to native hoteliers. These rocks contained mineral springs. And these mineral waters caused explosive diarrhea because of the high magnesium content.
The European hotel settlers knew that their people were chronically constipated because their diets were mainly gristle and potato pulp, and they needed these magic waters just to be able to bend over without groaning in pain. So Dr. Palmersdee Germany built the first hotel on this site, the Spittle Inn, and served customers the first mineral spring water, for which this area would in the future, and because of this, become known.
Question, is that building he built still here?
Oh no. In 1890, that original structure was consumed by a fire that started in the fireworks room and spread throughout the old wooden structure, which boasted kerosene-soaked wall tapestries. Dr. Germany decided not to rebuild and sold the land to circus owner William Dreigel, owner of the Mogenoffel Lemon Dreigel Crop Circus. He built the hotel bigger and better, and in the shape of a circus big top with gold tent posts and malapropion marble. The new seventh hotel wonder of the hospitality world was dubbed the Spittle Lick Springs Hotel and became a social center for the wealthy, constipated politicians and businessmen of the day. Maynard Grabby and Jasper Handel are among the big names that grace the lavish lobby of this Indiana jewel. Here we are at the famous entrance steps.
Is this Italian marble?
These steps are actually made of the recycled headstones from the graves of the original hotel fire victims. You can see some of the engravings if you look carefully.
Beloved child and sister.
Exactly. Imagine, in the 1900s, affluent tyrants and cruel elites gathering on these steps with their obscene steamer trunks, belittling and bossing the hotel staff, ready to relax and enjoy the colon-cleansing miracle waters of these ancient springs, but surrounded with the luxury that their own self-delusional beliefs thought was due them.
Wow, how grand!
When they passed through these doors, the sight that greeted them would have made anyone of that day gasp with amazement. The interior lobby was a recreation of the inside of a circus tent, but rose 200 feet in the air. Streamers and flags adorned every steel beam. Live animals strolled the vast lobby, walking on carpet designed to look like sawdust and grass. Music from a small brass band filled the air and greeted the bloated, cramped guests.
Sounds sweet.
Do they have a specific check-in time?
Yeah, I think it's after 4.
Hey, can we take a tour break? I want to go to the indoor pool.
All right, it's right over here. And they have complimentary swim trunks we can wear.
And swim shirts?
Of course.
Neat. Wow! It's so old-fashioned.
It smells like old-fashioned chlorine.
The original pools would have smelled like rich people's skin.
Where's the companion?
You can change right over there.
Whoops! Ah!
Oh no! Lou fell and hit his head on the tile!
Oh my word, is he okay?
No, he's dead! Oh, I'll wait here. You go back in time and change it.
No.
No, what do you mean no?
Maybe I shouldn't.
What do you mean maybe you shouldn't? Go back in time and prevent Lou from falling! I won't ever know what happened. Then we can go swimming.
No. Not this time. Lou wouldn't have wanted that.
Yes, he would have. Do it.
I don't think so. He said just let things happen. Stop trying to save everyone. It's inevitable.
That doesn't mean you don't try. If you have a time machine, use it to prevent bad stuff. It's just a resource, like super strength or mind control power.
Well, maybe you're right.
Ow, my head.
Lou, are you okay?
Yeah, I hit my head.
We thought you were dead. I'm glad you weren't. Hardy wasn't going to go back in time and save you.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, but don't be naive, Butchie.
What do you mean? Oh, you did save him, didn't you? Man, you got me. But Lou is all right. When does it end, though?
It doesn't end. I mean, I end, but saving doesn't end. A lifeguard still saves someone who's destined to die of cancer.
Repair the sinking ship.
Tour the burning hotel.
Yeah, you got it.
Hooray, kids! Adults of every age, the circus is in town. The Hardy White Circus, that is. Cruelty-free. the only cruelty-free circus, starring the not-there elephants, the non-existent horses, nobody's zebras, featuring not humiliating themselves clowns, not putting their life at risk tent putter uppers, train conductors that don't get squashed between cars because they aren't there, non-exploitative sideshow people. Oh, it's a wonderful circus. And what do you do? Most importantly, there's no peanuts. But you sit there. Do you sit there even? Yes, there are seats. What are you watching? Other people. I don't need any fancy show to come through town to be a circus for me. Oh, that's why they call it the circus of other stupid people you live with. Don't they call it that? I go out and I say, if you want scary clowns, there, I know where there's actually a whole nation of them, I think. Bless us all. We are wonderful. I'm frightened. All of you are funny to me, and I'm scared. You know, people look at those old circuses. I just came from looking at an exhibit with one of those old turn-of-the-century circuses. It was the Hagenbeck-Wallace Circus, in fact. It was a big, huge circus. And you say, why do we look at these circuses and think, oh, it's so scary and menacing and evil? And I realized this week from examining it, that's because it is, I think. And we romanticize it a little bit, but oh my word, look at all those poor animals and all those poor people. And think, why are you doing this for my entertainment? Is that really what I require? That to see you to whip a tiger or something? That's what I'm needing now? That's so awful and degenerate of me. Oh, why can't it just some fella come through town making ice cream or something? We could go do that. Everybody's enjoying themselves without having to anybody's having any kind of cruelty. Oh, please come into my apartment. It was a three-ring circus for you. I'd have some kind of sweet popcorn available or something, or candy floss, as the English just call it. I don't know what to call them now because I think England broke up or something. I don't know what, bless you all, my brothers and sisters. What do I call you all? I don't know what to call my fellow brothers and sisters around the world. I call them brothers and sisters, but they could be. They're more than that. My friends. That's what you are, my friends. My friend can be anything. I've had little ceramic figurines that I've convinced were my friend. This is my little friend. He seems so real. If something happens to him, I'm all be crushed. Oh, the world crushes our heart daily, doesn't it? I can feel my heart. I think I'm feeling my heart now, but I'm feeling my fleshy breast. I've got my hand where sort of my heart is. It's not really over my left pectoral. And my pectoral muscle has become, like a lot of old people in their old age, a collector. And what kind of things is your pectoral accumulating? Is it old souvenirs, old bars that it went to when it was young? Is it magazines of fat? Fat, it's collecting fat. And all of us become fat collectors, don't we? In the old times, and I think this goes back to medieval days or the 30s, there were fat collectors that would come around to your house and say, I'm here, why are you here? And they would say, you're awful. And if, hey, you, buddy, get in a fight like that for a misunderstanding. What they meant is awful, like you're awful. And that means like rendered fat and everything. I'm here for your fat. I'm here to buy your fat off of you, any kind of grease you want. And I hear, what do you do with that fat? What, I'm holding on to it. I'm not sure what to do with it yet, but I think in the future they'll be able to turn it into gold. So I'm storing it away. How are you storing that fat in a giant, in the belly of a giant? He's actually made from titanium, and there's air conditioning vents in there and everything. We have to keep it cool. Storing our fat for a future, for a technology that may not come. And is this a metaphor for something, Hardy? No, I'm just testing it out. I'm putting some fat out there. I find that this show to me is like a cruelty-free circus in a way. You only have to use your mind. Then you don't have to go anywhere either. Because travel, you can make an impact on the environment. Because everywhere you travel, you, my friend, are a poo monster. You're crazy. You think it ends with an infant. Think of all the stuff that comes out of infants and diapers. You say, what am I going to do with all this waste? If you're a parent, you think, usually it goes, I don't even think about it. Now I have to actively think about poo disposal, and then it just accumulates. So there's more poo every day. It seems like an endless struggle. It's like Sisyphus. Who's Sisyphus? Sisyphus, this is from myth. And Sisyphus was required, say, I've got you a diaper genie. And Sisyphus is like, oh, well, I don't even want to think about it. And so he was doomed to eternity to doing away with poo. And said, so he had to roll it behind himself in a big ball like a dung beetle up a big hill forever. I think. If you are getting a classics degree, do not consult this show. It is a show. Is it the greatest show on earth? I think it is. Now, Ringling Brother Barnum and Bailey Cobbetta Circus said, I am the greatest show on earth. But I ask you today, my friends, what is the greatest show on earth? What can entertain me that will not harm others? Do I really need for my entertainment to watch others suffer? And we do sometimes. There's shows that look at that foolish fellow over there vomiting drunk or something. I'm giggling at him. I was in a restaurant recently in Indiana, and they had one of the TV shows on, and it was one of these. They were kind of washed up B-list celebrities making fun of people who were humiliating themselves in public. And it's meant to be, I guess, ironic or something. But I was just watching, and I was thinking, oh, I cry. I coat a glycerin tear for my culture as I look out upon you. My friends, I love you all. I know I would love you if I met you. Most of you, I think, would have to be terminal. Now, I say, that's awful. What do you mean? Well, a lot of people are so full of themselves, you can't get through the arrogance. You can't get through that. They don't have any humility. So you're dealing with all that, and you'll never see the real them unless they're completely helpless and near death. And then you see the glimmer of that beautiful, helpless being there. Sometimes the hubris takes people, take it to the grave with them. Excuse me. I cough. Why are you coughing? I don't have much time. Years, minutes. Are you glib about that? Glib? It's a reality we all live with, isn't it? That's why I choose to be happy, excited, because if I feel well, then I'll be happy for both of us. If I feel well, I'll carry some of yours too. You would for me, if you were doing okay, if you could, wouldn't you? I'm not going to be against you just because you're wearing a t-shirt that says, I hate everybody who's not me. I'm going to overlook that for a while. I'd love to be able to really be like that. Are you really so selfless, Hardy? Could you look a man in the eyes, choking you out, trying to kill you, and say, I forgive you? No. No, in fact. I couldn't look him in the eye, because he wouldn't have any eyes, because I'd be gouging him out in my anger. My goodness. But I really would. But, you know, there's two different worlds, right? There's a reality world, and there's a world that I want to live in, that I'm trying to, that I'm desperately dog paddling in. Oh, I want you there with me, friend. We're just treading water. I'll tread with you. Oh, those are the stories that scare me the most. It's the stories of people out in the ocean, and they've got no hope left, and the boat is gone. They're just treading water. How long can you last? They keep going, so I have some energy. I must keep going, I guess. Because you never know. Because this is where statistics and everything kick in. This is where decision theory kicks in, and I don't have a choice because, you know, I must keep going. The odds say keep going. Because if you don't, you surely perish. If you keep going, then you may not. Eventually you will. Oh, bless your heart. Let me look you close up. I have been to a hotel recently, and so it got me thinking about things that I normally take for granted. Oh, when you wake up in a hotel, sometimes you're disoriented. I've had recurring dreams where I'm in a hotel room, and I have to get out, and I got to get all the stuff, and I don't know where my family is, or where I am, or when I am, or where my stuff is, or where I'm supposed to take it. Sometimes it's a dark motel. Sometimes it's a big fancy hotel. Hotel motel. Is there anything else? Is there anything? Hotel motel, photel, where they take your picture surreptitiously? I don't know. You'd think there'd be a photel also, spell it differently. Doesn't exist. It's fake. They use it for the movies. This was in the movie. Did you ever see the movie? What's the movie with the famous hotel? Psycho? Now that hotel resides on the house does, and I believe the motel, on the Universal Studios lot
in Knott's Berry, California, where they film all of the TV shows that you see, like Space 1999 and what have you. They are filmed in studios. Now, your imagination tells you surely that's a hospital on a spaceship, because it looks like exactly like the ones I've seen. I don't know what your point of reference is, but bless you, it looks familiar to you. Oh, friend, you look distracted. Is there something going on in your life? I know there must be. That's why I'm trying to... Circus don't pretend it don't have tragedy. When there really was a circus tragedy, and it really was a circus train wreck, and lots of people died in a fire and everything, that circus, other circuses supported it, gave it stuff to help it out, and it only missed two performances. And it went on because it's trying to make money. And people happy. That's how I should... I'm sorry. It's trying to make people happy. Who, though? Who exactly? Who they care about? Why are they charging them if they're trying to make them happy so bad? You'll find that a lot throughout. Don't be afraid to look at something cynical side. Say, oh, you ruined something for me that should be pure spirit. Oh, one another love will give one another's pure spirit. Come over to my house. I'll make a little circus out of wire and everything. Alexander Calder was over at my house, and he said, I want to make a circus for you. Like that. I thought, that's wonderful. And he said, get your paper clips. Was Alexander Calder really at your house? No, it's a story, but I can't continue with it. You're interrupting my flow if you say, did this really happen? Did that really happen? Is there really an Alexander Calder? We don't know. And he made a little circus for me out of cardboard and wire right there on the floor of my... At the time, I was living in Paris, but I had no furniture. And I was just really going down to the cafe every day and going... And say, what is that? Are you speaking French? No, I'm writing Dada poetry. And they thought I was a great genius. They said, you were a great creative genius. And really, I'm just mocking the language that I can't speak. And they thought that it was an artistic movement. I was speaking some kind of new poetry. And I wasn't. I was just being an idiot. And a lot of times, you will see that idiocy is mistaken for genius. If it's accompanied by a sort of confidence, an unshakable, unflappable confidence and sense of purpose. If someone sounds like they know what they're doing or has a sense of purpose, then it sounds more like they're telling the truth, doesn't it? If the truth's coming from somebody who's full of questions and everything, it may not be the truth. My grandmother, when something was wrong with her house or something, I'd say, Granny, I think this is what's wrong with the air conditioner. I think you need a new filter or something. She'd never think, so what do you know about air conditioners? But then some guy, some workman she'd been hiring for years, who's a total idiot and just taking her money, would come over and say, yeah, it's the flick-a-dang-a-dong-bang, and put in a new filter. And she'd think, oh, well, he knows what he's talking about. And the reason is because psychopath. So psychopath handyman has an advantage. Because he has an unflappable, unshakable confidence. And you say, well, I'm working at a disadvantage, Hardy. Because I question myself and I question everything I do. Oh, welcome. Welcome, yes. Yes, you've got it right. Come on in, you may take the tour. When a tour guide says to his tour group, hello, friends. I ask all of you to attach one of these big bicycle safety flags to your butt. It sticks up way in the air, and I'll be able to see you from a distance, and it has my flag on it. All of the tour guides have a different banner, a different, I forget what the word is, signa, ensign, I don't know what it's called, but a mark, an insignia that identifies them. And you are the big orange bicycle safety flag with the letter F on it. I don't even know why I inherited it, but that's how I know you're my group. I call you my F troop. Isn't that funny? And what that's taken from is the old TV show that made a horrible, violent period of American history look cute. And that's what we're doing today, is we are trying to take all the things, the realities of the human heart, and make them look like a little cartoon mouse by putting a little hat on it. Oh, let me put a hat on the cartoon mouse of your fears. It's a scary rodent until you dress it up. A little vest is all that stands between you and terror sometimes. If he was smiling at me, I have little hands. If he made hand gestures like a little ineffectual older white man, not like a mouse, I would say, oh, he's cute, looks like a librarian. Instead of, oh, a rodent's going to crawl up my leg and start gnawing at my thingies. I don't want that. What do you want for me? I want you to experience half the pleasure I had touring an old historic hotel. Now, I can feel a little bit, I say, oh, ancestors, what have you done? You look at the past, you say, oh, I'm uncomfortable with it. How do I go enjoy it, Hardy? If I see some history is questionable, do I really want to go to what was the playground of rich people at the turn of the century or something? Well, thank goodness now it's populated by goofy middle-class people. But yes, I think you should. You need to go and face history, good and bad. And start, don't assume that you've inherited perfect, beautiful ethics or morality or something. Go back and look at it. Go back and see it, everything. Make sure you haven't accepted something that's poison. Every Halloween, my mother would say to me, now, you know, there's lots of people out there who want to poison children. Don't ever take an apple because it could have poison in it. It's not wrapped up. I say, well, what would be acceptable then to accept that wouldn't be tainted or anything? She says, well, something, I don't know, something like Tylenol or something. That's not, you know, oh, no, even that's become tainted. How much wrapping? She goes, well, maybe none. Maybe it's all poison. How do I know what's not poison candy, Mama? What doesn't have drugs in it wants to kill me? You don't know. I guess take nothing. Oh, what do we do then? Oh, it's just I guess I got to look through it all. And the reason, this is how you check for poison candy. I guess you give some to a taster. Now, a taster can't be anybody you like, right? It has to be somebody that you don't like. Now, this is, Ehrlich, kings used to have these. I'm going to give it to that person. And if they don't die, I'm going to do it. Now, who does this now? Tasters, taste makers. The people that listen to music, pop music, or movies or anything that tell you, yes, this is okay, like this. And then people go, okay, yeah, I like that. Booze critics. They used to be poison tasters. Look how what they've become. Look how it's evolved. Did you know that our last names are largely made up of things that we used to do, like tickle, the last name tickle, or wince, like something like that. It's like, oh, I noticed that person's doing it. And it all happened at once or it won't work. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, does that happen over time? No. Either everybody has to get a last name at once. It's like a nation converting to metric. So everybody say, now we're going to get last names. We're full up, I don't know, John this, John that. I'm calling one John. I'm talking to the other. Let's get an additional name. Okay? It's like the post office went through this with zip codes. Telephone, you got to add a couple numbers. There gets to be enough people, you got to add another identifier, last name. So there was the year of the last names. And anything that you were doing or thinking or working at or living at that year became your last name. Parker. What was that person doing? Parking something. Shostakovich. That goes without saying. Right? So that year, that's what they were doing. White. Pretty obvious. Not doing, just sitting around, living up north, I guess is what my ancestors were doing. But you know, I'm not just white. I'm all sorts of other white people, but I mean other names and everything. Oh, my ancestors go way back until they're not even human. Did you know that? Yes, if you go back far enough. We are all family, aren't we? It's just some of us are awful. And you know what families can do to one another. The human family, we're a family, just like all the people in Cold Blood. There's one that's one big family, all killing each other. Oh, my friends, that's why in this little bit of the storm, if you've ever lived in Florida, then you've probably lived through a hurricane. And if you lived through a hurricane, I guess most people live through them, really. I mean, they're dangerous and everything, but more or less they're survivable. If you've got a concrete bunker. And who doesn't? But these hurricanes come on, there's storms. You've seen them shaped, what are they shaped like? Almost like a some sort of throwing star or something. And in the middle, they have what they call an eye. Like an eye of a potato? That's strange that you would say that. But no, more like an eye of a needle or something. Just a little hole. I call it a hole. They don't call it a hole. Isn't that funny? It looks like a donut with saw teeth on it. You'll never eat a donut again. A lot of donuts, too, have metal in them. Be careful. And in the eye of that storm, nothing happens. It's completely calm. And they'll tell you, oh, be careful what you do in the eye of the storm. It's deceptive peace. Because there's really, the storm walls are all around you. So don't go out there and start building a beautiful house of cards in the eye of that storm. Now is not the time. And I say this. Okay. But if I was using it as an example of something else, I'd say, well, why not exploit the peaceful time that you have, even though you know of the inevitability of calamity? Why can't we share this simple time of happiness and frivolity just right here in this bubble? We all know the bad things are going on outside. We can talk about them in this protected space, a sort of Sabbath, a sort of island in time where we can be together. Oh, my friends, that's why I like museums and tours and things like that, because we can let our mind wander. We don't have to be living in the 20s and everything. We just walk around some museum and talk about it. That's good for me. And all this talking has made me hungry. Let's move on to the cafeteria. The best things about museums, two good things about museums. One is being able to get anything that you saw at the museum on a mug. And the other thing is cafeterias.
I think I'm going to have the veal.
There's no veal. I'm having the German sampler with the schnitzel, the bratwurst, and the schweitzel. They only have pastries and small sandwiches.
What the heck kind of museum cafe is this?
I might just get a cheese platter and a whiskey flight.
I like the sandwiches named after things in the museum, like the Reuben sandwich. Very clever.
I had my bar mitzvah in the Library of Alexandria in their cafe private room. That was fun.
It was cool you had Rabbi Akiva officiate.
He was cool.
That's the first time I ever smoked pot, was in the ancient scrolls room, while your Uncle Phil gave a speech.
Yeah, he went on and on about stability versus risk.
This is a long line, and it doesn't feel like it's moving.
Oh, this isn't a line.
Well, what is it?
It's the piece, Q in the Cafeteria, by the artist Duff. Oh, so no veal today? The actual cafe is over there.
Ah, thanks. Sometimes the big and flashy makes us lose sight of the small, special things. When I said lose sight, I thought I said lucite. So I started thinking about that. Isn't that funny how that'll happen with homophones? So, oh, don't lose sight, and all of a sudden you've lost me because I'm thinking about lucite, that clear plastic stuff. It's more expensive than plastic because it's clear. I remember being part of a congregation one time of the house of worship of your choice, and there was a discussion among the congregants about whether they should buy a lucite podium. It was very expensive, but the clergy person wanted this lucite podium, had to have it. So I don't know why. So say, I told you I have pants on or something. For some reason, it being clear was very important. And it became an argument. Do we need something like that, or should we have a simple wooden one? If we spend all this money on a lucite podium, like our clergy, like our Reverend Rabbi Imam wants, then we don't have enough money for, let's say, our big fishing trip to the Bahamas that the elders go on, that Elder Men's Club takes. Or charity. I forgot about that. Charity. Charity is another thing. Oh, what do we spend our money on? What do we do with our resources? We don't have money.
Money? What are you talking about, Hardy?
I don't have any money. I have enough money to pay my bills. They give me this stuff and it goes right out the window. It's like I work for the company store.
16 tons, what are you more? I got it out at the company store. They used to say that because people used to get paid just with coupons to go get stuff from a store owned by the same people that were employing them. And you feel that way with your money, too. You say, well, it's not, I can tell it's not mine because it says it's stamped all over it who belongs to. And in no place do I see my name. All right? Unless my name is Hamilton. Could be. Say, this is mine. But most people, it's not them. All right? And so you say, well, it's not mine. It's going right back out. What do I have? Say, we have resources that you have power. Don't you? That's yours, that transcends money. And what can I use it for? I don't know, being a candy striper or something. Maybe being like a pink lady at the hospital. I really don't know. I have not even begun to explore my power to help others. I'm sure I haven't, because I haven't helped anybody. I don't think. I may have. I think I have, just from being wanting. You know, you want to help somebody, comfort them, being company or something. And it's fairly easy to do. You could drive around town saying, I'm going to try to be helpful. And I think you'd find some situation. It may not be as entirely rewarding as you want it to be. So, oh, that fella's broken down over there. I'm going to go help him. Oh, Lord, what happened next is an adventure. But see, that's good. Maybe naivete got you into it. And maybe nothing will get you out of it. Maybe it's a fatal situation. But at least you're into it. Oh, and you're doing something interacting. Maybe you're changing that. Maybe you could be the teacher, the PE teacher or math coach or whatever that says that thing to teen Hitler that keeps him from going on and being so awful. You know, you don't ever know whether you're going to be the person. I can change somebody's life. We say it was so offhanded. But what if you really did change somebody's life? So, oh no, people are made awful by a series of really bad events. Yes, but what if there's a sort of tipping point, a straw that broke the camel's back, an extra bacteria and a bacterial load that pushes you over the sickness? Now you're vomiting. But before you were just kind of queasy. What if there's one incident? What can I do? Oh, you know when ants go on vacation, they feel powerless because they're just a single ant without an army. And so they form an organization that helps them travel across the world and combine their resources like maps and coupons for fuel. Yes, are you just driving AAA or mutual aid or what are you? I am, in a way. We can all help each other like those ants who wanted to travel. And so they formed like a travel agency, insurance company sort of thing. I'll tell you how you do it. It's a lot. Get the ant. First of all, get the ant that has the way with numbers and doesn't sting so much. And get them to come up with the business plan. And the rest of us are going to go look for leaves. Oh, I love being an ant with you. I imagine sometimes I'm very, very, very tiny. And then I imagine I'm very, 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 very big. And then I get a headache from that because it's like kind of like the bends. And so I need to put myself inside. What do they do if you have the bends? They put you inside a tiny little submarine and they decompress you slowly. It's called a decompression chamber. And for a lot of us, what is your decompression chamber? Is it your favorite movie? Is it your favorite music? Is it booze, lots and lots of booze at a particular bar that you like to go to? Because you know who might be there. Oh, if only I could bump into them. Who are you talking about? I think you know. Some historical figure that might be traveling back in time. Maybe. Who knows who you'll meet? I want to meet, there's one point, did you know there was one moment where all the Doctor Who's were alive? Yes. 1960-something. They weren't all Doctor Who. Now, that's one of the first things I learned in philosophy class. I took a philosophy class as an adult. I said, you know what? I don't think my mind is working enough. It's not expanding enough. So why do you think it has to expand? Well, your mind needs to grow, doesn't it?
Isn't your mind sort of like Walmart or something? The bigger and better it is. So it needs to grow. So I will take classes at my local community college. For I'm a member of the community. And I say, well, what kind of skills do I need in this life? I say, what are they teaching? Philosophy. So I'll go over there and take a dang old philosophy class. I'm going to have to stop you right now because this didn't happen. And I'm going down a dangerous path because I think I could end up saying something anti-intellectual. And I was just making a silly little story. I got to stop telling lies like that. I could just tell that if I just stuck to the real stories of my life, wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't you be entertained by that? What if I had a circus where the clowns had no makeup, so you could not tell what their mood was unless they made a sort of expression or held a sign up that said, I am overjoyed because of this little poodle, and I'm going to throw a bucket of water on everybody because I'm so happy, but it turns out it's confetti. And then when I have a bucket of water thrown on me, it's water. And then I'm sad. And then I get violent. Oh, circus. You are so much like a world. Oh, world, you are so much like a circus. And who are you? What is your history? When I went to this historic hotel, it had such a history. Their circus owner had owned it. And there a lot of other things had gone on there. They had the Negro League baseball started in 1920, the actual league. But before that, there were professional black teams. Lots of them, with extraordinary players on them. And they had them in this, well, I went to West Baden Springs, Indiana. And there was, associated with this hotel, a pre-Negro League black baseball team called the Sproodles, which were named after this little mascot of the Springs at the hotel. He's like a little elf, or I don't know, he's a gnome or something. My name is Sproodle. And he drinks the water that gives you diarrhea. And they had a baseball team. Now, these baseball teams, these black segregated baseball teams, are extraordinary in the tragedy and justice that is... that gives birth to them at the same time creates this amazing concentration of talent. And so these baseball games were remarkable. And these West Baden Sproodles, oh, what an unfortunate name, played in a field that's no longer there. So I stood in this field, and they played... The hotel at the turn of the century had created a racetrack, okay, for horses. And then on top of the racetrack, they made a double-decker so that it had another layer with a wood floor so you could bike or walk around there. All right, double-decker racetrack, all created out of wood. And in the middle was an area big enough to play baseball in, and so they did. And lots of the white segregated teams would come and play the black professional baseball teams there. Together. This is before the leagues were completely segregated. They would actually play each other. And I looked out where this happened, and this is gone. But the wooden structure didn't last very long. And there's a little plaque there, and there's not much information. And I looked out at this. It's really just an empty field, and it had a single deer standing in the empty field where all this remarkable history had taken place. And all of this are shared history together, good and bad, right there and erased and gone. And that's not what anybody wants you to see. No one wants you to see all that. It's going to be erased for your pleasure. Because when you're being entertained, things need to be changed for you. Even history, everything. Oh, those elephants, they want to be there. Oh, those tigers, they want to be there. No, no. Tigers and the elephants want to roam free. Oh, the charismatic megafauna wants to roam free. Yes, they do. And I'm saying that you need to expand your idea of two things. What a hotel is and what a circus is. And if you make your circus idea bigger And if you make your idea of a resort bigger, you can be a poor man in this world and have your revenge. Ah, you do not control my mind. Free all the beautiful minds, brothers and sisters. Everybody being kept ignorant. The powerful being kept ignorant. The unpowerful. Unpowerful, is that a word? Being kept ignorant? And we will going to be freed by our beautiful, unstoppable love for one another. Humans drawn together by deep love and affection for one another will drive all this evil away into the shadows. Because I'm telling you, it's strong. You feel you quake in your boots when the love comes. I feel I'm not going to be shy about it anymore. I'm not going to be shy about it. I know that I'm on the right side of things, that I'm on the side of love and compassion. I'm on the side of loving my brothers and sisters. I'm on the side of tenderness. I'm on the side of feeling. Yeah, and you feel it. You quake in your boots. You're afraid of it because you know the power of it. Say, oh, I'm for hating negativity and being bad. Oh, go home. Go bring it on. Bring on the bigotry. I'm going to confront it like that now. You're going to shake in your boots. Boom comes the love. Boom comes it. I'm going to get, come on, try to rile me up and make you angry. Try to make me hate my brother. Look, I'm looking, still looking at you. I ain't happy, but I ain't mad at you. Oh, I dream of a world that's like that, where our circus is the very world that we live in, where the big top is the sky. And we're together, you and I, all of us. And people aren't being cruel to one another. We don't have that injustice. We just have popcorn and candy floss and candy apples. I think I'm thinking of a beginning of a Yes song called the Circus of Heaven or something. The day the Circus of Heaven came into town, there was the candy floss and candy apples, they say. Now, we all remember that Yes song from, was it on Tormata or something? Everybody's saying, yes, I remember, Hardy. I have the same exact life and experience as you. I knew it. I knew that we weren't all that different. I would like to say, it's not a real prayer. I want to say it to all of you. If I have anybody listening who's another human being, I want to say this. If I ever say anything to hurt you, I'm sorry. If I ever say anything to make myself look big and to make you look small at the same time, I apologize. It's not true. I accept my humility. That's the reality of it. I'm just a fool. I'm nobody. I'm weak. I'm helpless. I'm going to die. I grow old. I have fears. I'm afraid of things. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes my decisions are silly. I'm not always qualified for the things I do. Oh, sometimes I feel broken and weak. Oh, my goodness, I confess this to you and say, if I brought you any pain, I am sorry. Please forgive me. That's all I wanted to say. And I would love, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all more of us say this to one another, you know, and put off our anger. So I got some anger coming. What am I going to do? So anger is a lot like stomach cramps. How do I ignore it? I'm starting to feel these stomach cramps well up in me as if I'm constipated, as if I am some kind of elderly rich person from the turn of the 19th century, into the 20th century, needing some sort of physic water. Say, well, I need Pluto water from French Lick, Indiana, to help me make my stool and get it out of me, this fear. What's it going to take? And I say, yes, physic water. Don't hold it in. Get that fear out. It's just making you, it's giving you pain. But you're going to have to be patient because the cramps don't subside immediately. It takes a minute for the water to work. And you drink the nourishing, mineral-rich waters of forgiveness and kindness from the spring of the human heart, where we dip a ladle down in there and sip it. It doesn't matter how many people sip the cup. Come on, don't be a coward. Sip of it. And then wait and be patient and ride through it and your heart will calm, and your bowels will move spiritually. And that's what this is all about. Miracle Nutrition has always been a hotel resort for you. I've dreamed of two things in my life. When I was young, I wanted two things. I wanted a railroad and I wanted a hotel. And I wanted the railroad to come to my hotel, my grand hotel, where everybody would be welcome. And we would all find joy together. And then you'd ride back on your train. And then one day I realized what I really wanted. I wanted a way of getting you into my heart. And then a way of getting you the heck out of there when the fun was over. And it turned out to be radio. And one of these scenic railway rides is about the same length as a radio show. And so you board the train at the beginning. You sit down in the seat that looks like some kind of old school bus seat. And you think of how many arses have sat upon there. And it's a little grossed out. Especially because we're talking centuries of behinds. And you say, I'm going to go on a little bit of a ride right now. I'm going to tour a place I've never been. The heart of another human being. And some of what I see may be real. Some of it may be staged. Maybe that hippo is really made of fiberglass. And I think it is because, look, it doesn't look real. But some of it may be real out there. The backyards of humble folk. With their above-ground pools and their dog looking all skinny or something. Where are you going, Hardy? I don't know, but we're almost there, I promise. And as we near the end of our ride together, I say, I'm going to put this out there. I don't know, but can I hug you? He said, I don't know if I could. Forget it then. It's all right. I don't need it. I thought you were giving me the signal that you'd needed, that you'd feel better. Just when I got comfortable hugging people, because I was never really a hugger. Didn't feel comfortable. I realized that some people need to be physically comforted. And often people, you know, really need to be held. And this gave me the heebie-jeebies for a long time, most of my life. So hold people, strangers and adults and people I don't know and everything. Ew, right? I feel like my people invented the handshake. But I realized that, you know what, sometimes other people's needs, someone overrule my own discomfort and my own silly self-consciousness. And I need to be less self-conscious. And if I'm going to be a giving person, and if I'm going to help you and nurture you, I'm going to have to, if you need to be held, that's a perfectly acceptable human need, right? And so I will try to do that. And so just as I get comfortable doing that, people tell me, you know, oh, I don't want to be hugged or something. Like, oh, man, now I'm too comfortable with it. So I don't know. I try. I'm trying to help you, give you what you need. You see what I'm saying? It's like I have a restaurant. I got a restaurant, and then the 70s comes along. And they go, everybody wants Russian dressing or French dressing or whatever. So I had to make that. Oh, we have to change with the times. We have to grow. Sometimes we grow. Sometimes we shrink. There's a time. They make it sound dualistic. Say, oh, time to be born, time to die. But there's three times. Time to be born, time to do most everything, and then a time to die. So there's always that, they're missing that middle part. Time to plant seeds, time to mess around, do stuff, sing seed planting songs, and then harvest. But they make it sound like there's just the two times. No, the third time is the important thing. It's everything in between. It's everything in between. And you and I, it's not the walls that's important. It's everything in between. It's everything in between. I love you. I do. Oh, bless you for listening to me. Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White has been this tour on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in blessed Rockland County, where miracles are happening. And all my friends enjoying bottom. And WFMU.org online. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you, and join me again for this same stuff next week. I was standing at the crossroads.
What is up?
The sensational happy travelers right there, immediately playing beneath us on the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel broadcast this evening on WFMU. And the Brown Singers were the gospel folk we were listening to. I feel it in the title of their gospel composition there on the Songbird record label, about 1967. And right before that, we heard a classic from the Five Blind Boys of Mississippi. 4 or 5 years after Archie Brownlee had passed. And Lift the Savior Up is what they were singing on the Peacock record label, of course. An appropriate introduction to the Sinner's Crossroads gospel broadcast this evening on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt. And we have queued up for you an astonishing